Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the Flagged PvP Podcast. As always, my name is Atherby, and I'll be bringing you news, updates, and information related to high-end WoW PvP arenas and battlegrounds. Alright, so before I go ahead and start this fourth episode, what I do want to say is I am feeling a little bit under the weather today. So, with my voice being a little bit scratchy, or if my voice cuts out, or get a little bit hoarse, I'm very sorry about that. I am trying to get better as quickly as possible. But it's just a fair warning before we start that. Now today I did want to go ahead and talk about entering into PvP, getting your first character into PvP or getting your alt character into PvP, getting geared up, how to go about it, the best ways to go about it, the best gear that you can possibly get and everything like that, as well as a few bits of RBG information in regards to strategies for RBGs and things that will help get you a little bit more familiar with that portion of the game so that you can go ahead and be on your way and be doing that. So the first thing that I want to go ahead and start off with here is that to get started in PvP, obviously, in WoW, the first thing you want to do is going to be get to level 90. There's a lot of people out there that I've seen that will say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to PvP before level 90 and get honor capped, and you know, when I hit 90, I'm going to have all this honor to be able to get gear, and it's going to be awesome and everything like that. Unfortunately, the way that it's always played out for me and the way that I've always seen it is basically whenever you're PvPing pre-level 90, the amount of honor that you get is actually quite a bit less than what you get at 90. At 90, you are actually capable of capping multiple times per day. I've personally capped, I believe, maybe 3 times in one day, and it wasn't, you know, like a 16-hour sitting or anything like that. It was just a few hours, basically, of me PvPing and me doing everything in my power to get that cap, and the cap is 4,000 honor. So I did hit that, you know, 3 times in one day. It was actually pretty awesome. And I'm going to go over a couple things that I did and a couple little strategies there to help you out with getting that honor gear as quickly as possible. But before we go ahead and start that here, now, I want to talk about the best weapons, because there's a lot of things that really hurt when you're first getting into PvP. The main being that you are not capable of getting your weapon for usually about 3 weeks or so. You have to have that 7,200, I believe, conquest cap before you can get that weapon. And that really sets people back. So what I've seen, the best weapons that you can get once you hit level 90 is going to be from the level 90 scenario called Arena of Annihilation. And those weapons are going to be a 450 item level weapon, and they're going to be for just about every class, basically. You go in there, you do a real quick scenario, it's 3 people, you get that weapon, and that, you know, that'll start you off, at least until you get that PvP weapon. Unfortunately, there's not really much other things you can do. I mean, you can do heroics, which takes some time, you can do raids and, you know, hope for the best and everything like that, but that's about the best that you can do. But before that, you want to get, before going into PvP, I'm sorry, you want to get your Contender's Gear. Contender's Gear is the crafted level 90 PvP gear that every crafter can basically make. You know, there's cloth healing gear, there's cloth DPS gear, there's leather healing, DPS, spellcasting, and physical, and all that kinds of gear. But there's quite a few pieces that are really, really expensive on the auction house. As a matter of fact, I've bought 3 suits of Contenders now for various characters, and each time that I saw them on the auction house, there was a couple pieces on there that were like 1,500 gold a piece. I mean, it's absolutely crazy if you buy it at market price. But one little way around that is you can actually go and you can buy the materials. You can buy the leather, you can buy the windwool cloth, or you can buy the ore or the bars, and ask a crafter in trade chat to see if they'll go ahead and craft it for you. And usually they'll either do it for free or they'll do it for a tip. I think the last set that I made, I tipped him like 500 gold or so, and he was more than happy to go ahead and make all that stuff for me, because it was still a little bit of profit for him basically doing nothing, and it saved me a ton of gold. It saved me probably close to 3,000 gold or so when everything was said and done by doing that. Now, once you have that Contender's Gear, I will tell you, do not enchant it. Don't go spending money on it unless you're a crafter and you can do it either really, really cheap or for free. I just wouldn't suggest it, because honestly, you can get rid of that Contender's Gear in a week or two very, very quickly. And it really doesn't take much to do so. Just farming the honor, getting a little bit of conquest here and there, and you'll be out of that Contender's Gear at, you know, absolutely ridiculously fast. So it's not worth it to spend the money on enchants or any kind of item enhancements for that gear. Now, when you start getting your honor and when you start looking at the gear that you can get, there's, you know, you've got the set pieces, you've got the helmet, the chest, the shoulders, You've got the off pieces, the rings, the necklaces, the trinkets, and everything like that. The first pieces that I would suggest getting, and this is just my personal opinion, obviously, is going to be the trinkets. Both the movement and pairing effects removing trinket, as well as the DPS trinket, on-use DPS trinket, or if you're a healer, sometimes the health trinket is better, depending on, you know, how you want to do. But honestly, I would get those two trinkets first before anything else. And the main reason being because if you get that DPS trinket, it gives you one more DPS cooldown to use. It really increases your damage by quite a bit when you combine it with everything else. And I talked a little bit about macros before. But using that in addition to every other burst cooldown that you have really gives you a little bit of a leg up in damage. And of course the other trinket, the insignia, which removes any kind of movement impairing effects, stuns, silences, fears, anything basically. It's absolutely vital in PvP. In arenas, it's absolutely critical. In BGs and RBGs, once again, it's critical. I mean, you don't want to be at a flag and you have a rogue come up and sap you or stun you or something, and then they get the cap on it. And all the while, you know, you're sitting there not able to do anything because you don't have that trinket. So really, I would get those first. And then once you have those two trinkets, I start filling in usually the rings, the necklaces, and the cloak, depending on what eye level gear I have in those slots. So, you know, the biggest upgrade for me, I fill it out as quickly as possible with that dreadful gear. Another thing that you do want to make sure that you do every single week is going to be the Shaw of Anger. And that's going to be inside the Kunlai Summit. And it's a random world boss, comes out, respawn timer is on like 5 minutes or so. There's always groups out there doing it. And by doing that, it helps you to possibly get a piece of malevolent gear or get another piece of purple gear that you can supplement in there. And even though those purple gear sometimes doesn't have the PvP resilience or PvP power, it's still a massive help going from, you know, a 440 eye level green piece of gear, blue piece of gear, all the way up to that 476 eye level purple. But you know, of course, you do want to make sure that whenever possible you have a piece of PvP gear inside of that slot, because it really helps with absolutely everything. People don't realize how much resilience and how much PvP power actually help in PvP sometimes, and it's absolutely critical. I mean, it's massive percentages of damage both reduced and increased on other players. I mean, I've seen people that are in full raid gear go up against somebody that's almost in full contenders, and the person in contenders will blow them up. It doesn't matter how much health they have if they don't have that resilience or that PvP power. It makes and breaks games easily. Now, when you're farming for your honor gear, I'm going to go over a couple of the best ways to farm for honor gear. I've actually capped, I believe, 3 times in 1 day before, and the cap is 4,000 honor, so that's 12,000 honor that I got in 1 day, plus a little bit extra, and I may have had a little bit to begin with, but I'll go over a couple of the methods that I've used to go ahead and reach that cap so that you can see how quick it is to get that dreadful gear, how quick it is to be able to get all that stuff. First of all, you want to do battlegrounds as much as possible. You know, you always want to be queuing up for battlegrounds. Try and do the daily so that you get your conquest, or try and do the random battlegrounds so that you can get your conquest as well. You don't want to pick specific ones that are outside of the daily or outside of the random. It just doesn't help you nearly as much. So it's really critical that you do that. You also don't want to forget about the old world PvP instances like Wintergrasp and Tolbrad. Both of those give massive amounts of honor, and Wintergrasp is actually one of those that's soloable. You can actually go in there, and if you're on the offense, you are capable of soloing it. So don't forget about those. I've seen Tolbrad give ridiculous amounts of honor. I've seen Wintergrasp give ridiculous amounts of honor. So try and queue up for those whenever you know you're in between battleground queues, and always try and get into those because they're usually pretty quick, and it's only against people on your server. So depending on how your server is, you know, you might win instantly, or it might not actually be a good idea for you if you're on the wrong side of the faction balance there. But you know, try and at least get into a couple and see how you like it, see the type of honor gains that you get from it. Now, speaking of getting into like the malevolent gear, you always want to try and cap on your conquest every single week. The initial cap for a fresh level 90 is going to be 2200 at max. It's going to be 1,800 for regular battlegrounds and arenas. Regular Battlegrounds obviously give you almost nothing when you win. I believe it's like 100 for your first win, and then 50 for every subsequent win after that if you're doing random or the daily. And so you always want to try and get Conquest capped every single week if it's possible, through arenas, through BGs, through whatever means possible. Now, to get that extra 400 points, what you want to do is you want to go into a Rated Battleground group. Now, a Rated Battleground group is only 10 players. Basically, you're queuing up just like you would inside of an arena. And when you go in there, the strategies are quite a bit different from regular Battlegrounds to Rated Battlegrounds. And I'll go over a couple of those a little bit later on. But basically, what you can do is you can look in trade chat. You can ask your guild, or you can go and you can start one of your own. And just see if there's people out there that want to do it, because I guarantee you there's people out there just like you that want to cap on that conquest every single week, and they don't see a way that they can do it either. And so starting up a group of your own or getting into someone else's group is really gonna be able to help you to get that conquest cap every week. And of course, if the group is good and you end up getting a higher rating, you want to keep those guys on your friends list as much as possible. Maybe you can get some arena partners out of it, or just some PvP partners out of it. To increase the size of your friends list, increase the amount of people that you can play with instead of just having a stagnant group. So doing that is really vital. Now, whenever you get your first pieces of your conquest gear, this is my personal opinion. This is what I've always gone for. Of course, you can pick and choose as you'd like, but I'm going to go over what I personally choose to do. I usually get the gloves first because they're the cheapest piece and because they give you that little bonus from just being the gloves. And then I go for the shoulders, because those are the second cheapest piece, and they will give you the two-piece bonus, which is 500 resilience, which is ridiculous. And then getting the two-piece bonus as well, two-piece set bonus for your class, which usually helps you out in arena. So having just those two bonuses plus the resilience bonus, it helps out a tremendous amount just to have those two pieces of gear right off the bat. And of course, the other pieces are, I believe, 2250. So it takes you a little bit longer than 1 week to get each piece if you aren't a higher rated in Battleground or anything like that. So get those pieces as quickly as possible, and then try and fill out your dreadful pieces, which is your honor gear. Through, like I said, the rings, the amulet, the cloak, and then start filling out your other pieces of contenders gear that you have. The helmet, the chest piece, the leggings, and everything else like that. As quickly as you can with that dreadful gear, because having that dreadful gear makes all the difference in the world. And of course, Malevolent, and then the Elite Malevolent. I mean, it's such massive gaps in this PvP season, as opposed to before, where it wasn't really that much of a gap, that you really want to try and stay up on that gear as much as absolutely possible. Now, also, whenever you get that Malevolent gear, make sure that you enchant it and gem it, as fast as you possibly can. Run out to the auction house, go get your gems, go get your enchants, because that is gear that you're going to be using for quite a while. And so you always want to try and, maximize every stat that you possibly can. Doing that is really, really helpful, especially getting, like, the meta gems, or getting the resilience enchants and resilience gems, or PvP power if you prefer, gems and things like that. Now, when you have your full gear and you're starting to do all of these battlegrounds, the first thing that I would really recommend you doing here is recognizing what good keybinds are and what bad keybinds are. Whenever you're inside of a BG and you realize, I'm using this skill quite a bit and it's at a really far button, say like it's a 7 on your keyboard and it's really far over, but you're using it all the time and you're always having to either look down at your keyboard or stretch over to reach it, I would recommend really putting something like that closer to your main, your primary keys, like your QWERT, ASDFG, ZXCV, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, F1s through F4s, and things like that. Try and put it closer, because if you're going to be using it that much in Battlegrounds, you're obviously going to be using it that much, probably in arenas and duels and everything else like that. So you really want to try and capitalize on those key bindings and try and get a feel for them. A lot of times when I switch up on my key binds, I will go into Battlegrounds, and it'll take me 2 days or so of just spamming Battlegrounds to try and get used to those new buttons. So try and get used to them as quickly as possible. And, even if you're in a BG and sometimes you're like, I hit the wrong button or whatever, it's not really that big of a deal so much as it is like inside of an arena. And so you really want to get those learned before you hop into arena. Now, I did say I wanted to cover a couple of strategies and a couple of tips and hints and information for Battlegrounds and for Rated Battlegrounds. You know, basically the different roles that there are inside the Battlegrounds, and just the different things that, that most people do, or at least that I've seen done in these Battlegrounds, so that you can get better acquainted with getting into them and hopefully, you know, getting higher rating. So the most important thing whenever you're in regular Battlegrounds is going to be your defenders, and it's going to be your ninja cappers. In regular Battlegrounds, of course, nobody really wants to defend it. It's kind of every man for himself. There really is no cohesiveness of the group. It's just kind of everybody in there to do exactly what you're doing. You know, they're all trying to farm honor, but sometimes nobody really wants to pay attention. So the main thing that is necessary is going to be defenders. You always want to leave 1 to 2 people inside of a regular Battleground at each flags. And the reason that I say 1 or 2 as opposed to like an RBG group where it's typically just 1 is because when you have attackers in regular battle groups, or I'm sorry, regular battlegrounds, it's typically not just going to be 1 or 2. It's usually you have a massive wave of people flying at you, you know, all mounted up, and they're coming right at you. And you got to have somebody to help you defend that that flag just a little bit longer. Always AoE around the flag. Always call out whenever you see incoming. It's so much better to have a false incoming and tell people, you know, hey, I see these people coming at me, than it is to just not call it out at all, or call it out as soon as they're on top of you, because then that really gives people absolutely no time to really aid in that. So, you know, like I said, it's better to be safe than sorry, really, when it comes to that. Now, in Rated Battlegrounds, I want to go over a couple of things here. In Rated Battlegrounds, you have actually different roles. You have your defenders whenever you have the flags, whenever you have flags like Eye of the Storm or Athi Basin. And then you have your attacking group, which is typically, you know, your massive mob of like 8 people that always go together. You don't really have your ninjas unless you have one particular ninja. Like if you've got a rogue, if you've got a druid, it's almost always somebody with stealth so that they can see if a flag is empty, or they can see if a defender from the enemy team is low, and they can run over there and just try and ninja cap it really quickly to try and relieve pressure from wherever it is the major push is going. And that helps out tremendously. I mean, I've seen games won and lost based on that alone. You have a rogue that'll run up to like a mage tower, and there's one person there, and they catch him off guard, and they get the sap, and they get, you know, they get that flag cap, or they absolutely destroy them before they can do anything, and they get that flag cap. And so that, you know, that changes the game right there, because at the time we were fighting in middle, and it forced like 4 or 5 of the allied team to run back to that tower to try and get that recap. And the rogue, of course, didn't even want to stay. He just kind of stayed there to AoE around the flag to try and keep it as long as possible, to relieve that from the middle. But you have your defenders, you have your attackers, you have your scouts, which are typically the same role as your defenders. Your scouts are going to be the ones that are going to be standing there with the flag. They're not fighting, and they're just kind of scouting out, you know, hey, I've got one over here at Mage Tower, or hey, I've got one over here at Blood Elf, or, you know, there's one right now at the Blacksmith. You know, maybe the ninja can go and take it. But you you don't want to ever leave those flags undefended, and you don't ever want to have people just running around to random bases. It's not helpful. Beyond that, you also need to have your shot callers inside of a Rated Battleground. To win a Rated Battleground, the major way to win those games is going to be to have one shot caller that calls out hard swaps onto a target with a countdown. So you've got, you know, 3 healers, and you've got 5 DPS, and you've got the shot caller that says, all right, guys, we're going to swap to the Warlock, you know, Exodus or whatever his name might be, in 3, 2, 1, and everybody drops as much damage as they can on that target. The target goes down hard. Then you do, okay, now we're going to, you know, do a little bit of AoE damage to get everyone low, and then he's going to call out the next target. Okay, now we're going to get on the warrior, you know, whatever his name is, in 3, 2, 1, go, and everyone drops their damage. And it's really, really funny to see whenever a good swap gets called out and gets executed properly. You see the people's health just get obliterated. There's absolutely nothing they can do if the swap is good enough, and if there was no indication that it was going to happen. You also want to make sure that, you know, your CC and healers during this time. Sometimes, you know, and this actually happened to me last night, where we had a bunch of people that were capable of CC, but they didn't really CC, or they would CC and they wouldn't call it out, and so it would get AoE'd and broke really quick, or, you know, overlapping CC or anything else like that. Make sure that if you're a class that has CC, and if you are CCing the healers, that you call it out. You tell people, hey, I'm CCing the Paladin over here, don't hit him. Or, you know, hey, this guy needs to be CC'd or whatever. Don't underestimate the power of crowd control. It's vital. It's absolutely vital whenever you're doing anything PvP related. Now, I've gone over, you know, basic strats inside RBGs as far as that goes. Like I said before, you also want to call your defenses well in advance. If you are horde side and you're sitting at the farm, and you see some guy running up from the mine, and he's, you know, halfway up from the mine, and he's way over there, but it looks like he's coming straight for you, you want to call that out to your group as quickly as possible. Because if you don't call it out to your group, and he's capable of getting to your flag, and your guys are sitting in blacksmith, I mean, you don't want them to have to peel away from blacksmith and lose that fight because of that one guy. Even if you think that you can take him, even if you're absolutely certain, 100%, that you can take that guy, and that you can kill him by yourself, and that there's no need to worry, you still want to let your team, you know, be aware of what's going on just in case. So that's, you know, absolutely necessary. Another thing that's really different from RBGs to regular battlegrounds is in RBGs, typically the flag carriers won't be escorted, or they'll be escorted by maybe one person. And the fight is the major part of that battleground. You got to have those, like I said, have those hard swaps, have, you know, people dying left and right, and try and get that res timer, because the res timer on rated battleground is 45 seconds versus the regular battleground, which is 30 seconds, and that extra 15 seconds, I mean, it's so key. It's absolutely vital to get them, you know, right after the spawn, so that they have the longest spawn timer possible, and you can try and get the flag or try and get your cap or whatever else like that. And again, whenever you're attacking a flag carrier, CC healers as much as possible. Try and just blow up that flag carrier. Try and get everybody in all together, hard swap, silence healers, whatever you can. Try and get that flag carrier down. Now, the best defenders that I've seen in RBGs or even in regular battlegrounds are typically those with really hard defenses, like Paladin Bubbles are ridiculous, because you've got that 6 seconds of absolute immunity to everything, unless of course it's a disc priest or a warrior that can remove it with mass dispel or with shattering blow. Same thing goes for mages, anybody like hunters with their deterrence where it doesn't allow them to be hit, things like that. It's those are the absolute best defenders, just because you have that extra few seconds of immunity there. Now, so that's kind of a little bit of an introduction into battlegrounds and RBGs and everything. A couple last things that I did want to go over here is going to be, like I said before, if you're doing an RBG group with random people from trade chat or from guild chat or anything like that, always make sure that if the players are good, if the people are good, or if they're just fun. I mean, if you go in there and everyone's chill, everyone's relaxed, having a good time, laughing, even when you lose and everything like that, add them to your friends list. Tell them, hey, I want to PvP with you again in the future, because, you know, if you get stuck with the same two or three people that you're always doing battlegrounds with or always doing arena with, I mean, sometimes you're not really able to get yourself better if you don't have the ability to play with other people and learn other people's playstyles. You can really stagnate that. Also, whenever you're inside battlegrounds or inside arenas, instances, whatever, you always got to have one person that's calling the shots. You always got to have one person that is stepping up and telling people, you know, hey, this is what we should do. Otherwise, it's just chaos. I mean, you have everybody DPSing everybody else. There's nobody dying because it's just all AoE damage, really. So, main point here, if nobody's doing it, step up. Go ahead, step up and say, hey guys, you know, I noticed that there's really no leader here. There's really no cohesiveness. Let me go ahead and call the shots here. And then you start calling it out. Start calling out, hey, you know, we're going to swap onto this guy. Hey, we're going to kill this guy. Hey, you know, let's go get this base, or let's go get that base, or, you know, make sure you grab the flag or whatever. Just lead your team. Be that leader that your team doesn't have. Be that leader that your team needs. But you also want to make sure that if you're in a group and you're in a situation where there's too many people, you know, trying to lead the group, it's really a bad situation. It's one of those where you've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You know, you've got five people trying to lead all at the same time. It doesn't work out. It just doesn't work out like that. So, you know, maybe you want to put in your 2 cents there and say, hey guys, you know, we need one person calling it out. Everybody else, you know, stop, listen to this one person. It can really lead to bad times. And the last and most important part, at least I believe, of PvP is stay calm, stay relaxed, have fun. when you're PvPing, when you're playing this game, and that's what it is, it's a game, have fun. You know, joke around, laugh, play around, take your losses with dignity, you know, accept your wins with dignity. Don't, you know, go shit-talking people just because you won or whatever, because I guarantee you, you do it, it's going to happen right back to you, and, you know, it's not fun. It's really not fun, so just always try and have fun, stay relaxed, you know, meet good people, and just enjoy yourself in the game. Now, I believe that's going to be it for this episode. Like I said, I am a little bit sick here. Hopefully, we'll do a longer episode next week. I would love your guys' submissions for what we can do for next week. I am hopefully going to get a co-host here within the next couple weeks, and we'll go ahead and have longer episodes. Especially with that, we'll have their input, and it'll make for better episodes and things like that. But please, guys, submit your ideas. What you guys want me to talk about? What questions you want me to answer? Maybe I can do specific callouts and everything like that. Also, don't forget, you can find us over on Twitter, on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, basically everywhere. We're all out there. It's always /flag PvP, @flag PvP, everything like that. You can look us up. Tell your friends about us. Tell your guildies. Tell your server. Tell whoever you want. But, you know, try and get us more listeners here so we can do a little bit better content for you guys. But I believe that's going to be it for me for today. As always, have a good night.